Okay, it's Sunday. It's 13 June. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. A coming Mideast nuclear arms race? We'll see. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, let's see here. We got a visitor, came all the way from Portland, Oregon. He finds the climate here more conservative than he does back at home. His name is Jeffrey Seifert. I was friends with him on Facebook for many years, and then I left Facebook, and so he decided to drive over here to visit us today. So thank you very much for that. It's wonderful to have you here, and I hope you'll have a good time. Can I say what happened to your wife? Right. She's not feeling well. A little too hot in Florida, a little too much sun. And so the reason why I ask permission is because when people come here, they don't realize that you can be in a hotter place at times, but there's not the same humidity level. You're not used to it. I've been in Arizona where it's 106 and it's not bad at all. You come here and it's debilitating. So please, if you come to visit, be sure to stay out of the sun as much as you can. Wear a hat, drink a lot. It just keep water. Yourself hydrated. Yes, water. Keep yourself hydrated. And yeah, there you go with that. But anyway, our heart goes out to your wife and you tell her we all said hello to her. Will you do that? Okay. Let's see here. Something happened last week. I'm so embarrassed about it. Brent and Tammy Spray were here from the Cowboy Church in Henrietta, Texas. They went to mission work with us. I had a great dinner with them and I forgot to acknowledge him here at the church. I had damaged my foot. I was in no mood for even being alive at the time, and I forgot to mention them, and they're such wonderful people. I've been a friend of his for some time. He's a preacher at the church. He's one of, I believe, the associate pastors, but he did a series on Ruth, which was, I believe, 9 sermons, and it was exceptional. So if you want to listen to that, go to the Cowboy Church in Henrietta, Texas. And he does a really, really good job of that. So I recommend it. And if so, make some comments and let him know that you appreciated his sermons. And I know that you will enjoy them. So there you go with that. One more announcement is that on Wednesday night at 9:54, there was a large meteor that went over Florida. And I woke up at my regular time, 3-something in the morning, and I turned on the computer after doing my Bible reading, and all of a sudden there's all these emails from weathermen all over the place saying, you had a incident on your webcam, and we would like to use that for our service. And then some guy over in Europe asked to have the license to that so he could make a lot of money, and he'd give me a portion and blah, blah, blah. I told him, my copyright is that you have a right to copy. I'm not getting into any of that type of stuff. You just take it and copy it and do what you want with it. But I will try to include it on the video today. If it doesn't come out, then you can go to the Siesta Cam, and it's linked there, and you just go down and click on it. It's really beautiful. It's looking out over the bay of Sarasota, and you'll see green lights. Those are green lights that are under boats. They keep green lights under boats on all the docks here. So that's what that is. It's not a false color. It's a true color. And all of a sudden, all dark in the sky, and this thing goes across the sky. So it's really beautiful. It's only a couple seconds long. So go ahead and watch that if I can't get it onto the video for you. One more thing. This Friday is my son's wedding. And we're going to try to live stream the wedding. Okay, so if you cannot attend in person, if you want to watch online, a lot of people emailed me and asked if that would be something we're going to do. The answer is I'm going to try. We have to have the password at the place we're going to. If so, it will be Friday at 5 p.m. And it will be the first time. Four? Friday at 4 p.m. Okay, I'm glad somebody told me because I'm the one that's going to be doing this. And this will probably be the first time that I have worn a suit since I was ordained in 2010. And yes, I will be wearing shoes. I will be wearing shoes that were issued to me in 1984 by the United States Air Force. So if you want to see that, you can watch live streaming. My son and his fiance Faith will be united in marriage. So with that said, we're going to start out today with some news from Israel. from the Times of Israel. I will say this before I get into that article, is that it looks like, as of today, Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be out. I don't think that's happened yet. I was checking the news, and it may have happened, but it may not be updated yet. But it looks like he did everything he could to stay in. As I said a year or two ago, maybe it was a year ago, I said, I think he should have retired before, because it would have smoothed things out and they would have had a right government in there. And now it looks like a bunch of lefties are going to be running Israel. So that's very sad. Bennett, who was very unpopular, he got 6% of the vote, has wormed his way up into the premiership. And he's made a lot of concessions with other people in order to get that position. And so I don't think it's going to be effective. I think it's going to be damaging to Israel, but we'll just see how it goes. It may dissolve just like it has the past five times. And, you know, people were just burned out and they were willing to try to do anything to get a government put together. And that's what happens when things like this come about. So that's all I have on it. We'll see what happens in the next week as to how the government is and what they start doing. From the Times of Israel, Israel's military exports hit $8.3 billion in 2020. Lockdown year, second highest ever total. That's rather amazing that they did that with all of the, especially with Israel being locked down for, you know, half of it or more. Israeli military exports reached $8.3 billion in 2020, buoyed by a 15% spike in the numbers of agreements signed compared with the previous year. Despite fears the coronavirus pandemic would impact 2020 sales, Israel cited new markets and allowing sales jumping $1 billion from 2019. That's the second highest sales figure ever, behind 2017 when the total hit $9.2 billion. As in previous years, the bulk of the exports went to countries in Asia and the Pacific region. The government figures said radar and early warning systems and ammunition and armament contributed each 16% of sales, while manned aircraft and avionics accounted for 13%, as did observation and optronics. Missiles, rockets, and air defense system sales contributed 10%. Other areas included communication, drone, and intel systems. Sales to the Asia and the Pacific region comprised 44%, with 30% going to Europe, 20% to North America, and 4% to Africa, and 2% to Latin America. Also, the Israel aerospace industry said it had signed a $200 million deal to supply drone technology and services to an unspecified Asian country. From the Jerusalem Post, new Mossad chief hints at more assassinations, attacks against Iran. Incoming Mossad director David Barnea gave a threatening speech against Iran, alluding to potential future assassinations of its nuclear scientists and attacks on its nuclear facilities. The Iranian program will continue to be met with the full power of the long arm of the Mossad. We are very familiar with the different components of the nuclear program, and we are very familiar personally with the officials involved in it, and also with the officials who direct them. Iran is acting even at this moment, this very moment, to realize its nuclear vision under international auspices. Using the deal and without it, with lies and with concealment, Iran is more advanced than ever toward developing a weapon for genocidal destruction. He said that the spy agency would undertake a mix of operations and the use of advanced technologies, likely a reference to cyber attacks among other capabilities, to keep the Islamic Republic in check. Further, he said that Israel would not be passive simply because the majority of the world was willing to look the other way on Iran's nuclear program. You can see they're not at all happy. That's a stab at Biden. Anyway, from the Times of Israel, new Mossad chief, even as it negotiates, Iran working toward dream of nukes. New Mossad chief David Barnea warned that Iran was working to fulfill its dream of acquiring an atomic bomb, even as it holds talks with world powers on restoring the 2015 deal limiting its nuclear program. Our security challenges are very big, and at the top of the list is Iran. This needs to be said loudly and clearly. Iran is working, even at this very moment, to fulfill its nuclear dream under the international guise of protection. He said that under the protection of the agreement and without it, this is the same quote from the previous article, with lies and concealments, Iran is making constant progress towards a weapon of mass destruction. Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel must do everything but everything in order to ensure that under no circumstance Iran arms itself with nuclear weapons. The greatest threat against us is the existential threat which is presented by Iran's attempt to arm itself with nuclear weapons. Faced with a choice between relations with the United States or neutralizing Iran, the elimination of the existential threat prevails, he said. In other words, our relationship with America is not that important. Our survival is, and they will reject this relationship if it means that Iran is going to get nuclear weapons. It's so sad that we have the person in the White House that we now have, because he is going to do everything he can to bring this deal back into place, and they are going to work towards weapons, and there is going to be a problem in the Middle East. We all know it's coming anyway, but this is solely because of what is going on with the politics in our administration right now. From the Washington Free Beacon, State Department shuns term Abraham Accords. They won't even say it. They've wiped it from everything. The Biden State Department discourages employees from referring to the historic peace agreements signed by Israel and its Arab neighbors by its official name, the Abraham Accords. According to one source with direct knowledge of the admin's internal decision-making process, which is very poor, I'm sure, and emails, the name has also been erased from a wide variety of official State Department communications as the new administration presses officials to refer to the Trump-era deals as normalization agreements. The Free Beacon reviewed two internal State Department emails detailing to employees that the agreements will no longer be referred to as the Abraham Accords. No reason was given for the policy. The department also purged the term Abraham Accords from its talking points, documents, statements, and official communications. Senior department officials have been very cagey about explaining the policy decision and have sought to keep it quiet. It's a name that the Trump admin came up with. That's the only reason why they're doing this, is they don't want Trump's name on anything because he's vilified by these people. A branding they came up with, and they prefer not to use it because it's associated with President Trump. For the U.S. to shy away from that term, it's absurd, petty, and silly. Yes. Rumors of the policy first surfaced in early April when AP diplomatic correspondent Matthew Lee pressed State Department spokesman Ned Price to publicly state the official name of the peace agreements. Price bristled at first before reluctantly calling them the Abraham Accords. He was probably scolded for even saying that. So very sad what's going on in the world, but this is the way it is, and this is the way the left works. They got heads full of lard. From the Times of Israel, Honduras to open embassy in Jerusalem this month, president to travel to Israel. Good job, Honduras. Times of Israel echoing Trump, Netanyahu says election stolen, deep state within new coalition. Okay, I would agree that the election may have been stolen, but the term deep state implies that he didn't know what was going on for the past 16 years, and I disagree with that. So I will say that, yes, the election was probably stolen through backdoor politics that should not have come about. But any deep state would be implicitly his fault if it's there, because he's been the prime minister for a long, long time. I like Netanyahu. I just think he wore himself out in the process of being the prime minister, and he should have backed off earlier. You know, I wish things were different. Maybe he'll come back in a couple years. We'll see, or maybe even sooner if this coalition and government dissolves.
He's
kind of old, but so am I. So, you know, I mean, I'm not really old. Yeah, that's true. I'm not running for any office, but that's okay. Let's see here. Some news concerning the state of Christianity today. I'd like to thank somebody named Joey. Okay. She's done a couple of YouTube channels, which you can look up. One is called Discern the Bible, and the other is KJV Bible Talk. And what she's done is she's taken commentaries that I have written over the years. She just emailed me one day and said, can I use your commentaries? I'd like to do something on YouTube. And I'm like, they're out there. They're free. Do it, whatever you want. I didn't expect her to do what she did. She took these commentaries, and right now she's doing the Revelation commentaries, and she's got them scrolling. Just going down, and she's got scenes behind it, so you can, instead of reading it on a piece of paper, which a lot of people don't want to do, or reading it. She's got it on YouTube, and it's scrolling, and there's sounds and these commentaries. And this was a ton of work, if you can imagine doing that. And so if you want to read like the Revelation commentary that I'm doing, you just go to one of those, and there it is. And it just scrolls through. And Claudia, you watch that now, don't you? Yes. So she heard about that, and she says it helps her because she doesn't like reading in the standard way. And then some people don't want to listen to podcasts. So this is another way of doing this, and I want to personally thank her for that. That was a great, great amount of work that she's done. Also, Kurt from Orange, California completed the Exodus and Ruth books. My hat is off to him. That's a lot of books. And he says hello to all in the church. So hello back to you, Kurt. From the Christian Post, Kenyan atheist group secretary resigns after coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Good job. A member of a Kenyan atheist group has abandoned his leadership post, I hope so, within the organization after finding faith in Christ. The organization announced the group Atheists in Kenya Society revealed on Twitter that its secretary Seth Mahiga made the decision to resign from his position as secretary of our society. The organization explained that Seth's reason for resigning is that he has found Jesus Christ and is no longer interested in promoting atheism in Kenya. Praise God. All right, from the Christian Institute, Teachers Union promotes transsexual Jesus play. This is in the UK, Scotland. The Gospel According to Jesus, Queen of Heaven, is written by Joe Clifford, a man who identifies as a woman, naturally, and is set to have excerpts performed as part of an LGBT event by the Education Institute of Scotland. The EIS, who claim on their website that they represent around 80% of lecturers and teachers in Scotland, say the play invites us to imagine Jesus coming back to Earth in the present day as a trans woman. These people are going to be seriously, seriously punished for what they're doing. They have no idea what they are doing right now, but they think it's cute and fun now. They won't someday. The event page for School's Almost Out, Celebrate Pride, describes it as an evening of brilliant LGBT performances to celebrate Pride and the end of the school year. So kids are getting this. But the play is deeply inconsiderate of Christians in the EIS. This play deliberately reimagines Jesus as a trans woman and puts words into his mouth that he never said, misrepresenting him. That's deeply distressing and offensive for many Christians, which nobody cares about what we think. If it's offensive to anybody else on this planet, it's got to be taken off of YouTube. Offend a Christian, and it's highlighted. That's deeply distressing, it says. It's all hard to see how a teaching union justifies using the subscriptions paid by its members, many of whom are themselves Christians, to promote this play. The play was performed in a Church of England church, a move opposed by several bishops, you think? Former COE Bishop of Rochester, Michael Nazir Ali, said it is quite clear from the Gospels that the identity of Jesus is male. His mom is Mary, and he always refers to God as Father. So to suggest otherwise is contrary to Christian teaching. I'm glad somebody in the COE was willing to speak up and actually say what the Bible says. From the Christian Headlines, religious liberty triumphs. California to pay $2.1 million for church's legal fees. Christian Post, Nevada to pay church $175,000 for legal battle over COVID-19 worship restrictions. And then, sadly, we'll end with this. Christian Headlines, U.S. Catholic Embassy. The U.S. Catholic Embassy is flying LGBT flag to honor Pride Month. Yeah, well, go read Revelation 18 and you'll know who they're talking about. Some news from Mideast and Africa today, from the Times of Israel. Palestinian Authority pays $42,000 to family of terrorists who killed two Israelis. Palestinian Authority President Abbas ordered that the family of a Palestinian terrorist who murdered two Israelis be paid more than $40,000 and be given new housing. Ramallah Governor Laila Ghanam, an Abbas appointee, met with the family of Muhammad Halabi and gave them $42,000, reportedly to help them cover housing costs since their home was destroyed by the IDF following the killings, Khan said. Ghanam also told the family that Abbas had instructed his security services to help them find permanent housing. Home demolitions are a controversial policy that the IDF says helps deter future attacks. Well, it won't do anything if they keep giving them new houses. The payments are the first high-profile payments to terrorist families since Biden took office. Biden doesn't care. Biden is sending them more and more and more money that was taken away from them, and they'll be funding these people at a higher rate than ever. Despite claims that they were willing to rethink the controversial policy as a part of an effort to improve relations with Washington. So it's sad what's going on. Our government is once again funding Palestinian terrorism. And it doesn't matter that we have a law that says you can't do that, because if you send it to this pile, it can be moved by them over to this pile. There's nothing that says they can't do that internally, and that is what's happening. So we as the United States are funding terrorists. From Newsweek, EU official is sure next round of Iran nuclear talks will result in deal between nations. EU official Enrique Mora said he is confident the next round of negotiations over Iran's nuclear program will result in Tehran's compliance with a 2015 deal aimed at curbing its atomic ambitions and also to see the U.S. rejoin the accord. From Newsmax, Iran weeks away from nuclear breakout as Biden team mired in confusion. No surprise there. The U.S. still does not know whether Iran is ready to resume compliance with its 2015 nuclear deal, and if Tehran continues to violate the pact, the breakout time it needs to amass enough fissile material for a single nuclear weapon will shrink to weeks, said Secretary of State Blinken. So they acknowledge this. Weeks away from this. Okay, now why do you think that they're saying this before I read the rest of this article? It's because they are saying that they're weeks away, which they are. That's all it takes to get to where they have enough material. They're saying this so that when they do get the JCPOA, which I just read you the last article says they think that it's probably coming, they can say we saved the world. When in fact, all they're doing is they're giving them a hand to do it at a slower pace, but they're still going to do it. Okay, so it remains unclear whether Iran is willing and prepared to do what it needs to do to come back into compliance, Blinken told lawmakers. He's just stringing them along. That's all he's doing. He's stringing them along. Meanwhile, its program is galloping forward, stringing them along, telling them it's bad, it's bad. We got to get this deal so that when the deal is in, they can say they saved the world. You see what's going on? This is exactly what's happening. They know they're going to do this deal. They know they are because this last guy just said it. The whole world isn't paying attention. The longer this goes on, the more breakout time gets down. It's now down by public reports to a few months at best. And if this continues, it will get down to a matter of weeks. They're sitting there lying to the faces of the American people because they think that we're stupid enough not to do a little research and say what the rest of the world is saying is going to come. That's what's happening right now. And the world is going to be a far more dangerous place because of our current administration. A far more dangerous place. Times of Israel, GOP senator, Arab leaders say they'll enrich uranium at levels approved for Iran. Nuclear race is coming. A senior U.S. senator revealed that Arab leaders have told him privately that they will insist on being allowed to enrich uranium to the same levels and amounts that the international community permits Iran. If you don't watch it, we're going to wake up one day very soon and there will be enrichment programs all over the Middle East. Yep. Lindsey Graham, the four-term senator, emphasized that a nuclear arms race in the Middle East can be avoided if the world speaks with one voice and stands up to Iran, which will never happen with this administration, adding that Tehran needs to feel more pain for its misconduct. Graham said the Israeli and Arab view on the Iran nuclear deal is the same, that you can't trust Iran with an enrichment program. Longer and stronger is not possible, he said, referring to the Biden admin's position that it will ultimately seek a longer and stronger Iran deal after reentering the 2015 pact and bringing the Islamic Republic back into compliance with the original treaty. And the Middle East is going to go nuclear. It's a very sad world we're living in because we have the incompetence of the Democrat Party of the United States of America running decisions. From Kair, I'm not angry. I'm just being forceful about this. I'm upset. It's so upsetting to see all of the work that went into the past administration being frittered away before our very eyes. From Kair, Kair welcomes new report on U.S. mosques showing 31% increase in mosque establishments, expanded mosque budgets, right here in the United States. Kair welcomed a new report on U.S. mosques that showed a 31% increase in the number of Muslim houses of worship nationwide since 2010. And with Biden in office and the refugee program coming back into play, it's going to go exponentially higher, folks. The report is a comprehensive statistical study of mosques in the U.S. with the goal of providing a detailed portrait of the American mosque to dispel misconceptions and to help mosque leaders and congregants better understand their mosque for future improvements. Mosque surveys were conducted in a collaboration with a larger study of American congregations called Faith Communities. Today, which is a project of the Cooperative Congregational Studies, Partnership has a multi-faith coalition of numerous denominations and faith groups headquartered at Hartford Seminary. Christians are supporting these things, they're funding these things, and they are shooting themselves in the foot, because when they don't make the rapture because they don't believe the Bible is true, it is their heads that will be removed first.
Yes.
As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From Sputnik, ruling party candidate wins Mongolia's presidential election. I can't pronounce his name, not even close, but I'm going to try. Ukhnaagin Khurelsukh. Okay, that's the best I can do. From the ruling Mongolian People's Party, won the race with 67% of the vote. The voter turnout was at 52.7%. The Mongolian president is elected for a six-year term. There you go with that. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Zero Hedge. This isn't really new technology. This is a study on technology that's coming out right now. I've mentioned this many times. This confirms what I've said. An inconvenient truth. EVs, electronic vehicles, may offer a negligible CO2 difference from ICE, which means internal combustion engines. Everybody got that? Electronic vehicles, internal combustion engines. Are the carbon footprints of EVs really as drastically lower than that of internal combustion engine vehicles? When considering the amount of carbon and CO2 created from assembling lithium-ion batteries, one firm thinks the difference could be negligible. The firm posted a blog entry entitled Exploring Lithium-Ion Electric Vehicles, Carbon Footprint, where they call into question a former ICE versus EV comparison performed by the Wall Street Journal and argue that there could be literally no reduction, zero, in CO2 output in some EV versus ICE comparisons. Their analysis details the tremendous amount of energy needed to manufacture a lithium-ion battery. Because a typical EV is on average 50% heavier than a similar internal combustion engine, the analysis notes that the embedded carbon, that means the carbon it took to produce that in the first place, in an EV is therefore 20 to 50% more than an ICE. Analysis suggests a modern lithium-ion battery has approximately 135,000 miles of range before it degrades to the point of being unusable. An extended range Tesla Model 3 has an 82-kilowatt battery and consumes approximately 21 kilowatt per 100 miles. Assuming each charge cycle has 95% round-trip efficiency, and a battery can achieve 500 cycles before starting to degrade, a Model 3 can drive 134,310 miles before dramatically losing range. Thus, an EV will reach carbon emission parity with an internal combustion vehicle just as its batteries require replacement. This will come as a huge disappointment for those believing that EV adoption will have significant impacts on CO2 reduction. The blog post then goes on to critique a Wall Street Journal analysis that concluded it would only take 20,000 miles to break even with an ICE. First, it compares a Tesla Model 3, a sedan, with a Toyota RAV4, an SUV. An entry-level Honda Civic, a more appropriate comparison, would improve the ICE fuel efficiency by 20%. Next, after consulting the footnotes, the Wall Street Journal article assumes 80 kilograms of CO2 emission per battery. This estimate appears to come from a 2019 Swedish Energy Agency report in which they reduced their carbon intensity by half compared with the prior year. the motivating factor for lowering their estimates was the use of close to 100% fossil-free energy, which is not common yet, but will likely be in the future. But they lied in their analysis in order to boost an EV's ratings, even though that technology is not yet available. So it's all a lie. And you will spend as much or more on an electronic vehicle. You're going to have all the problems associated with that. Get out your car, start it up, get that gas rolling, and get down the highway, okay? It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues that the book of Revelation prophesies of. So let's see how that's developing. From the Telegraph, German study, here's another one. We've gone through hundreds of these, I'm sure, maybe a billion. German, and I never exaggerate. German study finds lockdown had little effect on virus infections. Now, I want to give my statement before I go on. I am not saying that any of these COVID things are real. I'm reading articles, and if YouTube has a problem with that, please consult the article. I'm just reading articles. So this is an article. Statisticians at Munich University found no direct connection between the German lockdown and falling infection rates in the country. From the Epoch Times, lockdown states, residents, businesses finally enjoy reopening. Now imagine that. We were closed for 15 minutes in Florida. We've had rates comparable with anybody else, no higher, definitely no worse, and we've had no problem with this. These people have been locked down since last March, and that article just came out in June. So that's March, April, May, June. Yes, 15 months. She did that in her head. I had to use my fingers. Good job. Okay, from LifeSite, Biden announces July 4th giveaway if 70% of Americans take a COVID vaccine. They've been bribing people just to get them to take these things. Biden has announced June to be a month of action to get 70% of American adults vaccinated so we can declare our independence from COVID-19. Now, he's almost threatening the American people with this. Listen to this. Promising American citizens a summer of freedom, a summer of joys, a summer of get-togethers and celebrations, if only a critical mass of at least 70%. They pull a number out of the air and they say, this is our number. And if only you'll do that, then you can have your holiday. Well, guess what? We're in Florida. And we're going to have our holiday. We're going to be celebrating. We're going to be praising the Lord for the nation we live in, hoping that the Democrats will be voted out in 2 years and we can start to get back on a normal track. But we will be out doing what we are doing because this is Florida. I feel so bad for people that attend this church online or that watch these that are in a lockdown state. Move to Florida, vote conservative, and we'll get things back on track eventually. We'll go on. If only a critical mass of at least 70% of adults take at least one shot before July 4th, Independence Day. Although touting the liberty Americans have to choose the vaccine freely, the president made clear his preference is that citizens use this liberty in a specific way, and I think a lot of us have. It's your choice. Good. We've exercised our choice. So please exercise your freedom. Live without fear. Any problem there? Anybody having fear here?
No.
We know. Begins with J, ends with S. We know Jesus. Why live your life in fear? Why would you do that?
Amen.
If you know Jesus, it doesn't matter what happens to this body. It makes no difference, okay? And I'm not telling people not to get vaccines. I don't care if you get a vaccine. It makes no difference to me. The government should not threaten the people of this nation to do that. That's all there is to it.
But you gotta wonder why if they're bribing people.
Yeah, she says, why are they bribing people? You got to wonder why. That's exactly right. Okay.
70% aren't getting it.
70% are not getting it. That's right. So he says, it's your choice. So please exercise your freedom. Live without fear. We need to be one America, united, free from fear this fall. We especially need people under 40 to step up so we can declare independence from COVID-19. Okay. Absolutely insane what's coming out of our government. Absolutely crazy. Okay, from Click Houston, Texas is open 100%. Governor Abbott signing law that prohibits any Texas business from requiring vaccine passports, vaccine information. That means that you can't require anything else if you can't ask for the vaccine information. Good job, Abbott. From Mail Online, Cuomo says New York will drop most COVID restrictions when adult vaccinations, once again pulling it out of the air, rates hit 70%. The state is only 1.4% away as de Blasio announces plans for huge Central Park Music Festival to restart the city. Ooh.
So generous.
Yeah, really generous. From the Gateway Pundit, DeSantis wins. Cruise line won't require vaccine passports.
Yes.
Listen, yeah, applause to that one. This guy said, we don't need your money as badly as we need our freedoms.
Amen.
And those cruise lines folded because it's billions of dollars in their pocket, and he was not going to take it. Any other government in this country, I bet, even Abbott would have folded, and DeSantis didn't. He is a wonderful governor. He's not taking anything from these people, and you watch how targeted he is in the next 2 years. You wait to see. It's going to be worse than Trump with this guy, because I've said this, I'll say it again. It came down to about this many Republican governors which stopped the agenda that was being pushed forward. If it wasn't for them, with DeSantis in the lead, their agenda would have come through. Now, it's going to go through eventually anyway. They're going to find some way of getting it through there. But they stopped this. And they could not continue to force the things on the people that they wanted to because of a handful of governors. Write him a letter sometime and tell him how proud you are of him. That's what needs to happen. Okay, we'll go on. Let's see here. Yahoo! A woman with HIV had the coronavirus for 216 days. The virus mutated at least 30 times inside of her. That is like a laboratory of infection growing. And now they've got to figure out 30 different ways of making the vaccine work because they got 30 mutations inside of her. From Zero Hedge, California and Nevada are now 100% in drought. 100%. After two water years of dry conditions, both California and Nevada are now 100% in drought. And with dire drought conditions, rapidly decreasing snowpack, and low reservoir levels, concern for wildfire season is growing. There is a dry spell not seen since the Great Depression. Did anybody hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Not seen since? Okay. What does that mean? It happened before. This is not unprecedented, and if they're going to push global warming on you, they need to just go back and read past history. Great Depression and the Dust Bowl days. Because of the drought, Americans very likely will experience a shocking food shortage very soon. Drought is also affecting Arizona and Colorado and the prairie states like Kansas, Nebraska, and the Dakotas. However, other states such as those in the Midwest and areas considered the nation's Corn Belt also suffer from drought. Remember what I recommended last week after reading an article to you? Go into your store and buy canned food. Just buy canned food, okay? You don't need to hoard it, but buy enough to have a good supply so that when everybody goes and gets everything out of these stores, and you know that happened in 15 minutes at the COVID lockdown, at least you'll have canned foods. Everything else is unimportant, but it's important to have food, okay? I always tell my wife, food is good when you're really hungry. There you go. Okay. Let's see here. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From the Christian headlines, CBS Hallmark reject pro-life ad that shows ultrasounds. Babies. Too controversial. They don't want to show you an ultrasound and say that this is a human being on CBS and Hallmark. Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine? It's too controversial. We don't want to acknowledge that that's something alive inside of a woman. Three major TV networks have rejected a 30-second commercial by a national pro-life group that promotes the humanity of the unborn. CBS told Susan B. Anthony List that issue-oriented advertisements that are designed for the purpose of presenting views or influencing legislation on issues that are too controversial by general public consensus are unacceptable. The country music channel, CMT, said the ad was controversial. Hallmark also rejected the ad. So you got those three that just rejected it outright. I'm sure next week we'll have another list for you. From Breitbart, Disney's The Proud Family getting woke reboot with gay dads. Today, a lot of trauma. Trans parents say medical system isn't set up for their pregnancies. Guess what's going to happen in the next days now that that's come out in the news? They're going to start adjusting hospitals all over the country and spending billions and billions of dollars to accommodate a few people. I'll read it again. She's got a questioning look on her face. A lot of trauma. Trans parents say medical system is not set up for their pregnancies. So the whole country is going to spend billions of dollars for a few people that complain about their pregnancies when they say that they're not the sex that they are. KTLA says, California moves closer to decriminalizing psychedelic drugs as bill passes the state Senate. Another state down the tubes. Well, it's been down the tubes for a while, but from Breitbart, San Francisco Giants become the first MLB team to wear pride-themed uniforms. Ooh. Our other category. Please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons after you watch this update. I know that they will bless you a lot more than weekly bad news. Okay? Zero Hedge. Pandemic closures cost New York City construction industry $9.8 billion. The decline in jobs contributed to a $5.5 billion loss in total wages. The decline in activity also affected the city's minority and women business enterprises. Listen to this. As more than 85% of MWBEs are expected to be out of business in the next 6 months. The people that needed it the most are the people that are being destroyed the quickest. 85% of them. A decade of unemployment growth was wiped out in 2 months last year. The report also points out the importance of construction unions in New York City, calling them a major driver in the city's economy. Each $1 spent on construction yields $1.31 spent in the city. Each $1 million spent on construction creates a total of 8 jobs in the city. Each job on a construction site results in a multiplier of 1.32 jobs. Construction and real estate comprise 20% of the city's GDP, while providing 10% of jobs and 5% of wages. New York City, shooting itself in the foot, one toe at a time. Yep. Mail online. New York City slides back to the bad old days. Soho is, anybody know where Soho is? You know, where is that?
It's on the west side, it's around 10th Street.
Okay, west side around 10th Street. That's from a retired New York police officer. Your service is appreciated. Soho is unrecognizable after being covered in graffiti as cops struggle to deal with soaring crime rate while business owners slam sign of neglect. The issue is at the forefront of the New York City mayoral campaign, with Eric Adams saying the rise in graffiti goes hand in hand with a rise in crime. Mail online. New Yorkers are afraid to leave their homes. Guardian Angels, remember them? Yeah. Guardian Angels warn New York City is returning to the dangerous days of the 1980s as the vigilante crime-fighting squad steps up patrols in Chinatown following sucker punch attack by homeless man. The organization was first established back in 1979 with volunteers working to protect nervous New Yorkers on city's subways and streets. The crack cocaine epidemic fueled a surge in muggings and assaults during the 80s and 90s before crime eventually decreased. Now, I don't know this. I could be wrong. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. I will bet that the decrease in crimes came at times when Republicans were governors, or Giuliani, for example. I said governor, I meant mayor. Yeah, Dinkins sunk it, and I know he was a lefty. So there you go. You can see how it goes up and it goes down, and these people keep doing it to themselves by voting in the wrong people. Yep. In the 2010s, many wondered whether the Guardian Angels were necessary as attacks subsided and the city felt safe. But now, members say New York City is returning to the dangerous days of past decades, with murders and assaults skyrocketing in the past year. Many blame Bill de Blasio's bail reforms that allow violent offenders to be released back onto the street. No kidding. From that world, Chicago Police Union president says new poaching policy discourages proactive policing. They're not allowed to chase anybody anymore. You got a criminal and he's running? Let him go. President of Chicago's largest police union said the new foot hunting policy is de facto no foot hunting policy. No proactive policing in the future unless you're absolutely considerate or see a shooting or violent crime. That's the only exception to the policy going forward, which means nobody is going to do it because they will lose their jobs if they tackle somebody. And how often are they actually going to see somebody shooting somebody else? The chances are very small. What they'll hear is a bang, and they'll see some guy running with a gun. He didn't actually see it, and he cannot chase him. Epic Times. California shrank by 165,000 taxpayers, $8.8 billion in gross income. California residents of all ages and incomes are leaving for more tax-friendly climates. We got a couple in this church that did that. And they're taking billions of dollars in annual income with them. The IRS recently released its latest taxpayer migration figures from tax years 2018 and 2019. They reflect migratory taxpayers who had filed in a different state or county between 2017 and 2018, of which 8 million did in that time span. From July 2019 to July 2020, the Census Bureau estimated 135,000 more people left the state than moved in. California's tepid growth will lead to it losing a member of the U.S. House of Representatives after reapportionment occurs later this year. That's a first for the state. From the Daily Wire, finished as a city. Well, we've done New York. We've done all of California. We've done Chicago. Atlanta, at risk of losing one of its wealthiest neighborhoods over crime wave. Residents of Atlanta's Buckhead District are looking at options for breaking away from Georgia's capital and forming its own city. A group of residents have gathered to form the Buckhead Exploratory Committee to petition Georgia to allow residents to vote on whether the district will stay a part of Atlanta or split off into its own municipality. The effort has raised over $600,000 so far, so I would say that it's probably going to happen. If you spend that much money and you've got people that motivated, they're going to break away. The mayor and the city council have been making bad decisions. So at what point does anyone with a brain say enough? If crime is out of control and you are doing nothing about it, you are finished as a city. That's happening to Siesta Key right now, too. My home of almost 57 years. My grandfather moved there in 1948, 73 years ago, the year that Israel became a nation. We're lurking there. We're not going anywhere very fast, but they are now talking about breaking away from Sarasota County and starting our own city because Sarasota County wants to force high-intensity hotels on an island that is already completely saturated. They want four of them out there, and we've had enough. There's a point where you have to tell your government enough is enough, and we've had it. And so now we have got a thing going on right now, spearheaded by one of my bosses at one of my part-time jobs, Davidson's Drugs, and he has got this going. The ball is rolling. We got signs all over the place. We got petitions going out, and hopefully people will be smart enough to say we've had enough. Mail Online. North Carolina Police Force says it won't respond in person to 911 calls about theft, fraud, or trespassing after 84 cops left the force since January 2020. Well, let's see. We've done New York, we've done Chicago, we've done California, we've done Atlanta, and now we've got Asheville, lefty, North Carolina. Asheville police won't respond in person to low-level crimes. Move comes after department has lost 84 police officers since January 2020. Last fall, the city council voted to reallocate just 3% of the police department's $30 million budget. 3%. These people are going to destroy that city, and then they're going to blame some Republican governor or some Republican president for what's happened to them. It's insane what's going on. From MSN, U.S. troops mistakenly stormed. This is encouraging. This is your United States military under Biden, okay? U.S. troops mistakenly stormed cooking oil factory in Bulgaria. Yes, paratroopers in the 173rd Airborne Brigade landed in and around the decommissioned Chechnegirovo Air Base in south-central Bulgaria as part of the practice mission, the Army said. The fully functioning factory building sits next to the old base, and the troops mistook it for part of the mission, according to the release. The Army said no one was injured, thank goodness, and no weapons were fired. Ooh, the factory has been described as both an olive factory and a sunflower oil factory. Factory owner Marin Dimitrov plans to sue anyone responsible for the raid. Bulgarian President Rumen Radev called it absolutely unacceptable. The Army and the U.S. Embassy in Bulgaria apologized in the press release. Can you imagine working in your factory and in come the U.S. Army with guns pointing at you? I mean, they were. They had their guns out and they were storming the building. They just didn't shoot anybody. That's not encouraging. All right. Mail Online. Inflation jumps to 5% in the quickest rise in consumer prices since 2008 Great Recession as rebounding demand and supply shortages send costs soaring. Go buy canned foods. New York Post. Guatemala's president blames Biden. He blames Biden for the border crisis as protesters tell Kamala Harris Trump won. She's going down the road and they must not like her at all down there. The president right in front of her said, it's your boss's fault that this is happening. Good job.
Yes.
From the Western Journal. Putin's former chief of staff calls Trump the modern George Washington. reveals why globalists hated him. Go read the article. Good stuff. Okay, who said it? Truly, whoever can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. Not Mark Twain.
Hitler, probably.
Not Hitler.
Stalin.
Not Stalin.
Churchill?
Not Churchill. Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Charlie.
It begins with V and ends with E and has Voltaire in the middle. Anybody?
Voltaire.
Voltaire, yes, very good. You guys are smart. Okay, I knew nobody was. I thought Vic might be the one to get that. He's very well versed in things like that, but that's okay. I saw his wheels were turning. Okay, got a Lesrick here for you. There's good news from the African plain about a guy whose friends say he's insane. Once of atheist horde, he now walks with the Lord and rejoices midst Jesus Christ's reign. Good job. Okay, we got a bit of irony here for you today, and I would ask, as I do each week, please share this video so we can get the numbers back up to wherever they used to be. Okay, from Advance America. Now, does anybody know who Biden's assistant health secretary is?
Okay.
Biden's transgender assistant health secretary. I'm here to improve Americans' mental well-being. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.